Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Heather Reads Between the Lines. And it's a special episode because I have a special announcement that I'm going to make at the end. I mentioned earlier that there was some construction dust flying around our studio, and so today I'm going to formally announce the change that has necessitated that construction dust. But before we get into all of that, we're going to go ahead and revisit for one more time An Unexpected Earl by Anna Harrington. This was a little bit of an interesting story, wasn't it? It looks like a spy thriller meets Regency England history and meets a romance novel. There was a lot going on with it, I think. I was not expecting the super secret society, at least not at that level. The book sort of implied, the blurb on the back, it implied that there was something going on, but I didn't think it was, you know, secret society trying to unseat the king goings on. That was a little bit more intense than what I was expecting. I think for me, right now, when I think about Unexpected Earl, the lack of agency with all of our heroines is kind of starting to bother me. I read this and it just felt like, oh, poor Amelia, she just didn't have a choice with what to do with her life. I think that's probably why, you know, it gets set in this Regency England, so we don't question her lack of agency as much. It makes sense for her to be stuck under the thumb of the one last male relative who has charge of her life until she gets married, and he used that against her to, like, you know, take all of her money and all of her wealth and tried everything that he could do to take the one last thing she had. I think what I really want is a heroine who has her life together. I want her to have everything that's under control, or she's trying to put her life together, but on her own terms. The romance isn't the thing that saves her. I'm kind of getting tired of that a little bit. Like, the romance should not be the thing that rescues you from your situation. The romance should be something that comes with just living with your life. But I guess for these books, the romance is the thing that is fun. Like, you know, is it romantic if the romance isn't the saving grace? I don't know. I think it's something to think about, but I kind of wish that I have more heroines who have more of their life together. Skylar, so far from She Dreamed of a Cowboy back at episode 2, I think she's probably the most put together of all of our heroines. And on terms of it being a historical novel, it's barely historical. It actually kind of reminds me of another romance series, one I actually have on my own shelf before I even considered this podcast. I'm wondering, though, if I should keep the title a secret, because it's actually a very interesting little series of books. I might save it for future episodes. But it kind of has, like, a sort of secret society as well, even two of them. So the dueling secret societies is an interesting and fun concept. In An Unexpected Earl, you've got the good guys in the armory. I don't know if it's a secret society or not, because I don't think the book really said one way or the other. I'm not sure if they're, like, sanctioned by law enforcement. I know there are law enforcers in the group, Merritt, for example, and I'm pretty sure he is going to be, if not the next, one of the next fellows that they're going to push into the way of a heroine. But you've got the armory, they're maybe somewhat secret society, and then you've got Spectre, the evil secret society. So it's almost like if the Illuminati had a white hat group that always went against them that was also secret and nobody knew about. So I might go ahead and take another look at the series as time goes on. For more of the historical aspect, I feel like the only thing that was quote unquote historical about it was really just clothing, some mannerisms, and that stupid stunt that people shoot London Bridge. I can't really find a really good source on this, except maybe like one of those websites that you find that says it knew all the information, but their sources are questionable. But as I was researching that, I was really, really amused to find out that London Bridge itself was sold, dismantled, transported, and rebuilt in Lake Havasu City, Arizona in 1971. I think in the back of my head, I knew this, but I didn't really knew that I knew it, I guess, until I saw the news articles popping up and like the Wikipedia entries. Is like, wait a minute, did we actually do this? Yes, we rebuilt London Bridge in Arizona, of all places. Why did we do this? So I wonder if people still try to shoot the bridge. I think it was just sort of the way that things were built and accessed, I guess. Like, just the construction and the environment itself just created these awful river rapids that people would just decide to raft down as just an idea of, look what I can do, daring stunts. So hopefully people don't try to do this anymore. Now, as for Amelia herself, part of one of the things that was really kind of making me tired with, like, just the agency, her lack of agency, is her sham marriage. It's not just a trope, it is a cliche. And it just makes me so tired. The moment I saw the kids steal her bag and she gets rescued by Aaron, I knew what was up. And it's not fun for me when I can see that twist a mile away, especially if the hero or heroine in question can't even fathom that's what's happening. It's like, no, this is what's going on. I'm basically screaming. It's fun to make your own assumptions and guesses when you have like a mystery novel. Like, oh, I wonder who it is. So, like, you can make your own speculations because you're speculating alongside the character. But this An Unexpected Earl is not a suspense novel. It is an adventure novel. So there really wasn't a mystery aspect. There's maybe points that they have to put together. There's got to be puzzle pieces that come into play. But I think putting Amelia into the situation with the sham marriage, it was just frustrating to watch because, like, you knew something was wrong with Aaron, and watching Frederick be so underhanded and so cruel to his sister, it wasn't fun for me. It's probably my least favorite part about the entire book, and I'm sure I'm going to find more of that. I'm sure there's going to be plenty more sham marriages and bad divorces. I'm sure there's going to be plenty more of that. I'm not looking forward to it. I want to be challenged. I don't want to be screaming from a mile away. It's like, that guy is obviously a bad guy. Why are you trusting him? Why aren't you thinking that this is the possibility? And yeah. I'm hoping that I can be challenged more with that scenario instead of just being handed out this cliche on a very, very tarnished silver platter. And yet, for all my qualms, I actually did like the book. Well, I enjoyed reading it anyway. It was a lot of fun. It skirts the line of ridiculous that makes it a really, really fun read. I feel like it took enough realism out of the equation so that I could just kind of lean back and enjoy the ride. I wasn't expected to go, oh, this is truly accurate. I think the cover actually did a really good job of setting up an expectation of what we were going to see inside. I mentioned that the guy looked like he fell out of a Ren Faire. I looked like she, like the heroine, it looked like the heroine came off a Joanne Fabric catalog. And I think that kind of really sets up what we were expecting. Because I said in my review, it's like, it looks like they put on a show when they found some costumes. It's got a very modern take to the story, and window dressing can be a fun way to switch things up. I'm, you know, sham marriage cliches aside, I really did actually like reading the book. I may have given it a lower score, but for personal pleasure purposes, it probably goes up onto maybe a higher list, my own personal rank. But I'm trying to be objective with the final score at the end of my reviews. So, you know, it is what it is. Personal preferences are not like objective preferences. And of course, it's really hard to be objective on a media where subjective opinion is really important. Like, what I enjoy to read is not what, you know, somebody else is going to enjoy to read. So I'm looking for more like, you know, execution and how things are played out, plot lines. Is it ridiculous enough? Could I realistically see this happening? So I may have given it like a low technical score, but for me, I had a lot of fun reading it. So it was a lot of fun. And with that, let's take a look at what I've been reading. And what I have been reading, it's a little complicated. I've been trying to read Cinderella is Dead by Kaylin Byron. It's a rather interesting twist to the Cinderella tale. The kingdom looks like it is the world in which Cinderella lived, but it's turned into sort of a fascist dictatorship, where young girls are forced to attend a ball where they will parade themselves in front of men who will then choose their brides from this group. They talk a little bit about, like, oh, if you're the prettiest or if you're virtuous, if you believe hard enough, you will get blessed by a fairy godmother, but fairy godmothers haven't been seen for almost a century. It's really interesting how it's almost like a debutante ball, but your life is on the line. Because if you're not chosen by a suitor, you're never heard from again. And this is a problem for our main character, because our main character, Sophia, is a queer girl of color. She is basically not interested in men at all. She does not want to be married to a man. She'd rather go to her love, Aaron, and run away and be married with each other. And she's a queer girl. Yeah, I think I mentioned she is a queer girl of color as well. So we've got her engaging in a story that has a very white and heteronormative background. And I really wanted to see how this works out. I wanted to engage with this concept. Unfortunately, my library app does not have the book on audiobook, so I'm sitting here with an e-copy. It's been really hard for me to try to find time to actually sit down and read it. I want to read it. It's there, and what I've read so far is really great, but I haven't gotten very far into the book yet. I'm going to try to do my best so I can talk about it more with you all next time. Another thing that's been kind of taking up my attention are the Olympics, of course. We have been watching the Tokyo Olympics here. I was kind of on the fence of whether or not I actually wanted to watch it this year, just because there's been so much. It's been a lot. I'm really unhappy with how the IOC has been treating the women in the competitions. I'm going to have to stop myself from going on to a rant. I actually had to stop myself from going on to a rant to go, no, that's not what this podcast is about. It's just the Olympics this year are very interesting. There's a fair bit of controversy involving both the Japanese leadership and the IOC leadership. And I don't want to talk about that too much, but I have been having a lot of fun watching the fencers. We've been watching the archers go Korea. They have been dominating the archery, of course. That's been a lot of fun. And I really want to go see all the equestrian riders. I actually don't know a whole lot about the special dressage scores. I'm not at that level, but I'm really interested in watching, like, you know, the full eventing with cross country. I think cross country is a really, really exciting, event. If I were to go professional, and I'm not going to go professional, I would do like cross country as my discipline, although I don't think you do that on its own. Usually you have to do dressage and show jumping and cross country, but that's just my own little thing. I want to go see those riders. It's going to be really cool. And so, yeah, we've been watching the Olympics. It's been a lot of fun. But another thing that I actually have been reading was Tales from the Void. This is a comic series that's being produced alongside Evanescence's new album, The Bitter Truth. I am a huge Evanescence fan, and when they said, oh, we're coming out with a new album, I was stoked. And I got it the moment it came out, and I've got a really nice deluxe edition set. It's gorgeous. I love the album. And one of my life's highlights was getting to meet Amy Lee and the band in person when we went to go see them on their synthesis tour when I was with my husband. It was really, really exciting to get Tales from the Void in the mail this week. There's two stories in the comic, and they're both done by different artists. They're really gorgeous. And both stories they talk about pain and facing pain within your life. It's a really, really great discussion of how life can be both wonderful and terrible. The first story in particular had an interesting approach to facing life and its trials. There was a little bit of a moment where I kind of disagreed with. It had that very, dare I say, cliched moment of, you know, the protagonist throwing her medication away. It's like, that's not healthy. That's not something you should do necessarily. There may be bad reasons to take medication, but there's also bad reasons to go off medication. I just think we have to be careful with that kind of metaphor. And it's questionable, but that's really the only nitpick I have on it. The artwork is gorgeous. The stories are really great. They're very evocative. And I'm really excited to see when the next issue is going to come out, and I want to grab up a copy as soon as I can get my hands on one. And finally, on top of all of that, one of the big reasons that I have not been reading all that very much actually brings me to the announcement that I promised at the beginning of the show. This is the last episode of Heather Reads the Podcast. But don't worry, beginning next week, we will now be called Hopelessly Romantic. We've been hard at work getting this ready for all of you, and I'm pretty excited to finally bring this out and begin the shift to the new name. And it's going to be really kind of fun. There's only going to be a couple of changes. Don't worry. There's going to be some new music. I might play around with the format a little bit. The whole podcasting thing in general is still brand new world for me. I'm still learning a lot about editing and audio production. But it's still going to be the same romance novel review podcast that you love. And I promise I'm not going anywhere. I'm just operating under a new name. So thank you so much for joining me on this crazy journey, and I hope you're going to stick with me next week when we read Pregnant with His Majesty's Heir by Annie West. So for the last time, thank you for joining me for Heather Reads the Podcast, and we look forward to seeing you for the Hopelessly Romantic Podcast. You can visit us very soon at hopelesslyromanticpodcast.com. And if you want to say hi, or if you have any questions about the show, you can email us at contact@hopelesslyromanticpodcast.com. Music today was provided by The Harpies. The show was written and produced by me, Heather Songster, and our technical advisor is Kwang Hyun Cho. And remember, it doesn't matter what you read, only that it's what you love.